Hey everybody, and welcome to your Friday, June 6th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that God's actively trying to stop. Joining me this week are Robin Van Gilder and not Greg Jan, but Mike Lemieux.
Yeah. My theory is that God just really wanted me on this podcast.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So yeah, we recorded a little bit last night, and then my electricity just died for an hour.
In the middle of the call.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
At least we didn't get too far in, but yeah.
We did a little bit of housekeeping, which I don't remember, and I'm not sure I still have the file, but I think Greg's wanted people to know that One Piece has been dethroned in Tankobon sales.
Yeah, Attack on Titan, right?
In the rankings, Bleach is third from the bottom.
Bleach is third from the bottom. I think Cell Symphony was below it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, Cell Symphony and iShoujo, yeah. Which are, those two are going to get canceled.
So Bleach's cushioning is basically those two manga.
I mean, that's how it always is, isn't it?
Yeah.
The two things that are going to get canceled, and then Bleach.
And then they introduce a horribly offensive thing that gets canceled after 20 chapters.
Do you think those mangaka come into the office and they see Kubotite sitting on a sofa, smoking a cigar, laughing at them?
Yeah.
She just saw the rankings, chomp.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for helping me out.
Here, have a copy of my new 3DS Bleach game, motherfuckers. Get out.
It's like how Matadors must look at rodeo clowns.
I don't know that they have rodeo clowns at Matad.
I don't know. I assume those. It's all bulls. It's all the same thing.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
But yeah, I guess One Piece being dethroned is a super huge deal.
Yeah, and that's in sales, because they're not in the same magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just for this month, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, was there a new One Piece volume this month?
I assume there's one every month, right?
Yeah, well,
I mean, he takes so many breaks. Cause,
that's true.
That's true. They
need 10 chapters for a volume.
All right, so it'd be once every other month then.
Yeah, usually about a month and a half, I think.
Hmm.
Or two.
But it was very close. It was 15 million to 14 million.
They must have had a new one then, if that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how hard do you think Jump editors, how many people do you think were fired for not getting Attack on Titan?
Well, I mean, it's a seinen manga.
Yeah.
It is, but I think it could have run in Jump.
I don't know.
I feel the popularity didn't happen until it hit the anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But in the manga, popularity is sort of retroactive.
Yeah. Everyone's going and catching up. It's not. I mean, this could be a thing that doesn't last if the next season of the anime is not good or something.
Or takes too long.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that happen a dozen times of a really, really good first season of an anime, then the next season comes 3 years later.
And the budget's been slashed and
the time slot's been changed and
Yes.
Yep.
So someone that started reading Attack on Titan lately, I'm not really loving the current arc, so I'm kinda curious how they're gonna handle that in the next anime.
Is it not interesting or
it's getting kinda dull. And when it's a once-a-month manga, and, there's not really much happening chapter to chapter. Imagine if Bleach was once a month. How bad would it be?
That would be basically unreadable.
Yeah.
And speaking of Bleach. So, Mike, you haven't been reading Bleach for 2 weeks.
No, I haven't. I'm running faster, my pee is clearer, I'm sleeping better. Great.
It could be that Simpsons thing, the second you see Bart, your stomach's going to inflate and all your hair's going to fall out. So, where did you drop off? What was the last thing that happened?
Ichigo showed up. The end.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you think
happens? An entire chapter of people turning their head and going, oh, looking at the sky.
All right, so what do you think has happened since Ichigo showed up?
So, it's Bleach.
Right.
So I'm tempering my expectations pretty hard.
There's been two whole chapters that you missed.
There's been two. I'm going to guess that he, we're talking a Goku-Nappa situation of him just jobbing these girls for two chapters. And I'm going to guess that's all that happened.
Okay, let's go for a little bit more detail here.
Okay.
How many things do you think have happened?
Okay, I think he immediately takes out one of the girls completely. And then two more fight him, and that one lasts a little longer, and maybe they've been taken out, now he's down to the last one.
Okay. So while you read the next two chapters,
I'm
going to pause for 5 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead and read.
Sure.
Okay, so Robin, let's talk about this week's chapter of Bleach.
Okay, so nothing happened in this week's Bleach.
Yeah, literally nothing happened. So
like they all shoot their arrows at him, and it doesn't do anything, and then they immediately stop using their bow and arrows.
Yeah, they gave it one try.
Yeah.
And then they say, like, oh, well, I guess it's fine because we're hungry. So that it's why that didn't work. So the one Nazi that's being aggressive about this decides to power up completely,
right,
fly at Ichigo with two lightning rods.
Right, and the others are just kind of like, eh, we don't really feel like fighting
anymore
for some reason.
And Ichigo thinks it's cool that she has two swords, so he brings out his two swords.
Right, and then he uses his new attack, which is Getsuga Tensho.
Yeah, the exact same attack, but there's two of them now.
Yes, he has two of them now.
Wasn't the whole thing that Getsuga Tensho was...
No.
Juha Box attack?
No, Getsuga Tensho was always his, and it was the same as his dad's for some
reason. The black
reason?
One that was...
This right. is like Getsuga Juji show?
Right, which basically means
two of them. Yeah.
Two of them. And that's what it is. He uses his two swords and he shoots two of them.
And that's the end of the chapter.
Yep.
Okay, I finished the first one.
Honestly, you can scroll past this one. It's like the dialogue is 100% incidental.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that first one of just like, I don't.
They all attack him and they all miss. Basically.
The thing that I've noticed so far is Ichigo does not seem to be doing anything. He's just kind of standing there while stuff happens around him and they talk about him.
Which is the Goku thing.
And they had to have this dramatic reveal of his new attack.
This is entirely like Kubotite saw that episode of Dragon Ball. It was like, fuck. I need to do exactly this.
Yeah, that was awesome. I want to do that.
But in that one, Goku elbow checks Nappa immediately. That's what I figured was going to happen.
There's a thing with the Ginyu Force where like,
oh, that
he was being attacked and like
the Ginyu Force one. I was thinking.
Goku. I mean, they're the exact same moment.
Well, no, but in the Goku Nappa one, it's just like Chunk Nappa's dead. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I don't remember enough about the Nappa one. Remember, he hits Nappa once, and Vegeta's like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna kill him."
Well, because he paralyzed Nappa.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna guess what's happening here is now that the blonde Nazi is incapacitated from the Getsuga Tensho.
Right.
That the other Nazis are going to eat her.
Oh, in this line that says I am sextuplet wielding. As I scrolled by, I thought it said I am a sexual deviant.
I mean, also true.
Yeah, pretty much.
Also, that line doesn't make much sense either.
Yeah. Well, I guess she has the two things, and then she also has four more lightning bolts on her back.
But she doesn't use those. She uses like the two in her hands. I don't know.
And then it's just like the classic Bleach thing where there's like a giant pillar of light on the screen, and then Ichigo comes and does his attack, and there's another giant blinding page-filling attack, and
so
it's just...
What happened in these two chapters was what I assumed happened in the first chapter.
Yeah.
In like the beginning of the first chapter,
right.
Yes.
You assumed what would happen in like the first page of the first chapter.
Yeah, like I figured...
Ichigo
like,
uses his new attack.
I figured the first one would end with like him having taken one out and them all just being stunned at his power because Ichigo.
Yeah. Right. But
that's
unfortunately,
not how Kubo rolls.
Nope.
I do like that they all have different arrows. I'm fine with that.
And that gets like one panel and then like...
They all miss and then the arrows don't do anything else and then they
You don't even see him dodge or anything. You see the arrows going to hit him and then like all of them missing.
Yeah. Because he's just so fast. Bet that's something you've never seen before. A manga protagonist just being so fast that he can dodge anything.
I mean, it's just like it's
Breaking
an Ichigo thing,
here,
too.
Tell,
like,
yeah.
That happened in Soul Society.
Yeah, like, it happened multiple times, didn't it? Because then it also happened with the Arrancar. Or not the. Yeah, the Arrancar. They were also so fast, but in a different way.
They didn't have Flash Step, they had. Whatever it was, and you'd see their
whatever,
heels.
Some word in Spanish. Probably.
Their heel would flourish, and they would, disappear.
Also, this is a really lame introduction to Ichigo's new swords.
It really is. He doesn't do anything cool with them.
Yeah, he just immediately does the same thing he did before, but now does it twice.
This feels on the level of the Kenpachi. I'm going to use two hands on my sword. I'm going to do two Getsuga Tenshos.
Yeah, but that was great because it was Kenpachi. And that counts as a power-up for him.
Who is, I guess, just out of it.
Yeah, he's still laid out.
He's okay, but he's just, you know, taking a break.
like whenever somebody is just off screen, I guess they're just normal. We're supposed to believe that they rolled away and are fine now. Like yeah. Shinji and that one thing that was like he was clearly laid out and dying, but then fine. Or Matsumoto.
Yeah, yeah. She just peaced out and then showed up later. Just
oh, like you mean when she got like cut entirely in half and then showed up later?
I think she got knocked out. Then she apparently ran away, got caught by Busby, and then beat up again.
I guess? I don't know.
Because then she's knocked out again when Hitsugaya finishes with Kangdu.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, God.
And all of that happened off screen.
Yeah.
So fucking Bleach. I didn't, like... Bleach.
Yeah, I guess the thing we learned is that even while keeping my expectations low, I severely overestimated what would happen.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand why this is taking so... Like, this would be much cooler if he just destroyed all of them at once.
Yeah, totally. But instead he has to drag this whole thing out because these are his brand new characters and he wants to show them off and all their witty banter and whatever.
I don't like this panel of them summoning their bows and, like, the brunette girl, like, she's mostly cut out of the panel because it's focusing on her chest. Yeah. Like, almost the entire panel.
Yeah.
I do find this panel funny of, like, Ichigo seeing all the arrows coming towards him and it looks like his spider sense is activating.
Mary Jane's in trouble.
All right, so I guess we're done with Bleach.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Nisekoi, which has two chapters, one of which is the worst thing I've ever read.
It was pretty bad, yeah. One.
I was fine.
You were fine with it.
The first one's okay. I don't.
The first one sets up a pretty funny situation, I suppose. Yeah. So Sugumi and Paula are sent on a mission by Claude.
Right,
to infiltrate a couples only, for some reason, yacht where a rival mob boss is, and they need to steal some data from him.
Also, just to cut ahead, they said couples only, but that guy appears to be there by himself, and there appears to be tons of women there by themselves. And
well, presumably they're like working for the cruise liner or whatever.
Maybe. There's like a number of people in this issue that say, oh, I'm here alone. Would you like to come with me?
Maybe they're lying.
Yeah.
Just trying to cheat on their girlfriends in front of them.
Anyway, so Sugumi is going as the boy and Paula is going as the girl, obviously. And Paula asks if Claude still thinks Sugumi is a boy and that it's weird that he hasn't figured it out yet.
Yeah. And apparently he does. So
yeah,
we asked that question a couple of weeks ago and I guess now we have an answer.
Yep.
Because Naomi Koshi listens to this podcast. And...
Yep. So... The time to get on the boat has arrived, and Sugumi's waiting at the port, and all of a sudden Paula calls that she got sick because she had 40 ice cream popsicles during the day.
But then she assumes the enemy must have poisoned her.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Checks and, out.
And then suddenly, because things are happening, Rocket was there.
He's like, I don't even know why I'm here. I just appeared.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. I'm just
honestly, this makes absolutely no sense. There's no logical reason I should be here. This is weird.
He's down at like the port, like fishing with a
next near... to a luxury liner that's clearly leaving.
Right. He's not like down by, you know, the ocean where people are all fishing all together. He's just like down by the port where there's like a giant cruise ship.
He's in like the industrial river. Part of the city fishing.
Yeah. I don't know. So, maybe that's how they do it in Japan.
So Sugumi freaks out because she needs to go in there as a couple for some reason.
Okay, the part that excited me here was, is Raku going to be dressed up as the girl? Which would be really
nope. Yeah, me too. I was hoping there would be that. But...
Instead, they quickly switch, or she gives Raku her suit, and she wears Paula's dress.
Which is way too small for her.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, well, I don't know what's happening, but if you need help, I'll come help you. But you can't wear that dress because it's really small.
Yeah.
So they decide to go clothes shopping, as Raku does with every female in this manga.
Yes.
So they go to this apparently giant shopping district on the cruise liner.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise liner, but that's basically what they are.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I haven't, Mr. 1%.
More like Robin Van Gilded. So, as tends to happen every time Raku goes shopping with a girl, he waits right outside the curtain for the dressing room.
Like, a foot away.
Yeah.
Not over in the chairs or anything, or...
And then Sugumi eventually steps out and is apparently bacon.
Yeah, she looks like a different character.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like every time Naomi Koshi tries to draw a beautiful woman, he draws them looking like this.
You also said Naomi Koshi. You keep getting it backwards.
Yeah. I don't know. And after this next chapter, I don't care to pronounce his name correctly.
So, Raku gets dressed up too, and he looks a lot like his Romeo persona when they did Romeo and Juliet. And they tried to infiltrate in...
Well, we missed the best line of him trying to get Sukumi to talk correctly, so he says to talk like Tachibana.
Oh,
so
yes.
She immediately uses her her Kansai dialect.
I'll give it my best shot.
And then they go infiltrating.
Okay, and they try to sneak in incognito, but Sukumi is apparently so banging that every guy in the room comes running over to her.
Like all the clearly American people.
Yes. Yeah. You can tell because they have blonde eyelashes.
Yes.
A thing, for some reason.
So she's freaking out because, like, oh, they must hate her because she looks so much like a guy. And I don't... Okay, so it's been a long time since the Sugumi female reveal came up. I don't recall her having, like, big self-esteem issues about it.
Oh, she was just raised as a boy.
Yeah.
Never.
Like, here she's like, oh, they must hate me because I'm not feminine. But it's like... Well, I mean, obviously they don't, but I don't recall her having, like, a crisis of conscience about it.
Well, it makes her vulnerable and therefore desirable to fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
And apparently to the other boat people who, I can't tell if they're coupled up with these women, but they're blatantly hitting on Sugumi and, like, well, saying, hey, let's go bang.
Those women look pretty pissed in the background. Also, just a reminder, Sugumi's, like, 15.
Yeah. Is she?
Yeah, she's going to, like, high school with them.
I thought everyone with Chitoge's age was like 17.
Okay, 17 still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Legal in Japan.
By quite a margin, unfortunately.
Also, international waters.
Yeah, okay, anything goes. You're right.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
So Raku steps forward doing his best Guido.
Mafia. Saying, mafioso.
Yeah. He's saying like, hey, that lady's with me. And everyone's like, who the hell are you? You're like 7.
And then he says that Sugumi's his precious fiance, and all the men run away crying because the world's unfair.
And she basically hyahs to this.
Mm-hmm.
And the women have, like, relatively no problem with, like, those guys being shot down after trying to bang Sugumi.
It happens.
Yeah.
He probably wanted to bang Sugumi, too.
I mean, yeah.
So Raku tries to give her a pep talk, saying, like, all those guys came over to you because you're, like, super hot. You know, have more confidence. And then it's like, oh, that's a really normal thing to say to a woman. And then, oh, of course they get all flustered for saying attractive and stuff.
And then they go back to kneeling behind the same bush.
Yep.
Completely incognito. And then it turns out that he's gone to the casino. So they follow him to there and discover he's being waited on hand and foot by a bunch of bunny girls. So there's only one thing Sugumi can do to get close.
Yep. Only one thing to do.
So, at this point, I don't think this is a bad arc.
No.
I think this is a good... Like, compared to every other Sugumi chapter...
Yeah, I was just going to say.
At least she's not eating something that's, like, giving her, like, Superman powers that she can't control them unless she's aroused.
Yeah, there's not, like, some dumb candy that she finds that has some comedic effect on her.
Yeah.
She finds a pair of shoes that, like, makes her bald or something.
Yeah.
And then so let's start with the color page of the next chapter.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
She's wearing clothes. I can't. Okay, it's not the Sugumi underboob that gets me, it's the Paula underboob that gets me.
It's the clearly, like, they make the text written in a way that makes it look like it's written on their skin.
Yes.
It says, it's because we're girls, soft and a little hot. So... I guess he's trying to cheesecake this up to play up the OVA, which is apparently like that one
bath
or that hot tub chapter or the spring chapter.
Yeah.
Remember where Raku sees everybody naked?
The part of this cover that makes me laugh is how terrified Paula and Sugumi look. Like, they don't have sexy looks on their face. They're just like, what the fuck are you doing looking at me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness, it's That's pretty true. Good with this chapter.
Yeah,
like, it's in well, theme. Honestly.
So the chapter starts with the other mob boss, who is Sekichino.
Yeah, sure.
That's his name? mm-hmm. and being offered a drink by one of the bunny girls, and he remarks, oh, he's never seen someone so cute, and we get a bunch of cheesecake shots of body parts to reveal that it is Sugumi in a bunny suit.
Apparently Sugumi has a really big ass. Which
yeah. I guess so, yeah. And Raku is cheering her on from the sidelines in a really kind of weird and creepy way. So there, like, she notices the disc in his pocket and asks to give him a massage so she can grab it. But then he's quickly called away by one of his attendants.
Yes, he has to go to his next thing.
And Raku runs over to, you know, console Sugumi, who's already tired of this job.
And convincing herself that it's for the sake of the mission.
Yes.
So they go off to the pool, which is apparently where he went, despite clearly a second ago being called away on business.
Well, it said it's time for his next event. So he's just got all these things lined up where he gets surrounded by different types of beautiful women, as we'll find out.
And then this one, it's women in schoolgirl swimsuits.
Yes. And I like how he is wearing like a special holder just for the disc.
Oh, yes.
So he still has it on him.
That actually makes us make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
So Sugumi's happy because, like, there's no way they have Japanese schoolgirl swimsuits at this for sale here. So she's fine. She'll just wait for something else.
Yeah, and then Raku comes running out. They were selling them for some reason. And then...
for some reason makes it art, I think.
Yeah, I really liked that line.
That's pretty...
But at the same time, it makes you realize, like, okay, there's no point to this story besides just dressing up Sugumi in cosplay fetish outfits.
Yeah, pretty much.
So she's super mad, but being polite about it, that Raku found this, and puts it on, and as she, now she's, like, pulling the cling away from her butt, they notice that he's gone suddenly.
Yes.
So the next thing is Chinese waifu.
Yeah.
So she's with the boob window.
She's in a China girl dress, and then he's gone.
Yep. And so she decides, okay, fuck this shit. I'm just gonna go in a normal waiter outfit, because everyone thinks I'm a guy anyway.
Right.
So do that. So she approaches Sekichino with a drink, and he immediately recognizes her as the Black Tiger Sugumi.
Yes. She's found out immediately and surrounded by people holding guns.
She realizes that dressing like a girl was keeping her undercover.
Even though she looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Sekichino's attendants finds Raku, which it seems like, you know, maybe shooting the son of a mafioso don, then, like, that's not a good idea.
You think, but...
Yeah,
well, they are in international waters, so... I don't
yeah.
know.
So there's, like, 15 guys with guns pointing at them. And Sekichino's like, well, I heard you guys were trying to get this our disc, but I never thought they'd send the Black Tiger here. And Sugumi knows that if not for Raku, she would be able to take them all out quickly. But since he's there and she has to protect him, she can't really do anything about it. And then it starts getting like, so this is the part where I'm just like, this is completely off the rails.
Where he offers to let them go if she strips?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, there's all the guys are looking like creepy and rapey. And then there's like a really, really, really creepy scene where she has tears in her eyes and angry looking and like lifting up her shirt.
And then Raku stops her.
Yeah.
And then Raku stops. Yeah.
By like almost slapping her in the face, it seems like.
And screams at the mob boss about how he can't run an organization if he treats women poorly.
Yeah, everybody knows that about the mob.
Which, you know, maybe this is not a so much treating women right thing as you are an actual sexual predator.
Yeah.
And like you're a rapist, and this is not so much about his pride as running an organization.
That is a pretty low bar for like treating women correctly is not raping them. Like that's the only hurdle.
And again, let's point out that Sugumi is a teenage girl.
Yes.
Yes.
So Raku then says, Sugumi, why not just go crazy? Don't worry about me. But Sekichino gets so mad at Raku that he doesn't, like, he orders them to fire.
And as they do, the entire boat shakes with an explosion.
Because mm-hmm. Paula has shot a missile into that room that they were apparently in.
I do love this panel of her on the front of the speedboat shooting a rocket launcher as she's speeding towards the boat.
Yeah. I thought she was on the dock.
No, you can see a motor behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So the Sekichino gets distracted, and in that time, Sugumi has burying punched all the guys with guns.
She's going to Zeba blast him.
And Sekichino's like, well, I'll make it even by taking off my own clothes.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
So she steals the discs, and then they escape by jumping off the ship. And Sugumi jumps through the window, and Raku follows her, but all her clothes strip off.
And she questions why only her.
Yes.
We all know why.
Yeah, we all know why.
So they have a Pacific Rim moment where they're sitting in the ocean and talking about, you know, why did you save me? Because I don't need a reason to risk my life for a woman.
Yeah.
And she thanks him. And then Paul views this beautiful moment. It's like, oh, I'll come back later.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it ends.
Yep.
So this chapter was garbage.
It was pretty bad, yeah.
People in fiction are very good about keeping their head above water while in the ocean.
And talking and having conversations.
Yeah. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like I have to like actively work to not drown.
Yeah.
Like, you're not completely naked. Maybe that's the reason.
I'll try that next time.
Yeah.
The water park will probably frown on it, but it's for science.
Yeah.
So the cosplay, that started to get a little absurd, but, you know, they cut it off at a pretty okay time, I guess.
Yeah.
But then the you should strip naked thing.
That was a bridge too far.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was, we really need to appeal to the contingent of fans that really like rapey scenarios.
And that's also goes back to the cover image, too, I think. But...
Yeah. Like, you know, what... I guess that he got some feedback that he should sex up Sugumi.
Well, she's the one with big boobs, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everything about it is wrong. This is Nisekoi at one point was like a really cute harem manga of very childlike characters.
Yeah.
And at some point it went just full on, we need to sex this up as much as possible.
I'm just a little disappointed that it feels like now... Like, he had, this very good little mini arc set up, and it's, then it just very quickly devolved into this, and it's, is every little nice story arc that gets set up just gonna devolve into cheesecake shit now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Hachiman is still working at her retail job to make money, but then she finds out she can make more money stripping.
Yeah.
Her boss wants her to dress up sexy.
Yeah. Someone gets a job at a maid cafe.
This maid cafe is different.
Yeah.
This old man is leering at her, but she's trying to raise money to go to Raku, and he's inviting her out to his car.
At some point, this becomes just like every first three episodes of any Showtime show.
Where conversations are not happening unless someone's naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just super disappointed that Nisekoi did this. Totally unnecessary.
Yeah, but now we got that OVA of all the girls being naked coming out.
Hooray. Because that wasn't awkward the first time they did it in manga form.
Oh god, we were so horrified reading that chapter.
and now it feels somewhat tame in comparison.
Didn't that one come out right before we were about to record and we were all reading it while the record, on voice call?
We were like, oh my god, really?
Oh, god. Oh, stop. No.
Okay.
All right.
On to Shokugeki no Soma.
Megumi is told to strip naked.
If she wants to win this contest, she has to lift her chef's shirt.
Yeah.
So the old man is making his choice and writes down with a brush, it's Ryo.
Yep.
He won.
Yep.
Yep.
The end.
It's Ryo.
That was a really short chapter.
Yeah, crazy.
Three pages.
So, like I said, that it was power establishment, that she had to lose so Ryo could face someone next time.
Yeah, I guess so. And now she can come back stronger next time and all that stuff.
But they go out of their way to show that she, even though she lost, she was still super amazing.
Yeah. And all her friends are there to comfort her and all that sort of stuff.
They also bring up that the chairman did not strip, which I think Greg pointed out last week.
Yeah. Right.
So she comes back, she's crying, oh, he was so scary, but And people are like, huh, wow, she really sucks, huh?
Yeah.
From characters that I've never seen before, but are drawn in such a way that you know they're assholes.
Yeah.
They have, like, the sneers and, like, the big noses.
Mm-hmm.
But then everyone else in the audience is, like, clapping because it wasn't a fluke at all. She did really well.
Yeah. You know they're good people because they're all good looking.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not as good looking as the main characters, which is important.
No, right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
she...
Establish them as...
So she basically gets a standing ovation from the entire audience.
Even though they didn't get to taste the food, but...
Yeah. Yeah. We're told you were amazing.
Yes.
Congratulations.
The judges also comment that it's really great that, you know, we had two exciting matches and she was still really good.
Yeah.
But she didn't make the record strip, but it was fine.
They say that she has a very bright future ahead of her.
And, what's her name? Arena?
Arena. Yeah. Yeah.
Arena comes out like, oh, we have your cars ready. You guys can go home now. And the old man, her grandfather, looks really alarmed all of a sudden.
He realizes
like,
something.
Nothing, never mind, I'm going to go home.
No, he says he's going to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go that to happens toilet. When you get that old. Like,
yes.
Right.
And so, the group reconvenes.
Yeah. We find out Takumi is going tomorrow. And then we also get confirmation that it's a complete shuffle for the next round.
Right.
So Soma is not going to necessarily be facing Ryo.
Right, it could be anyone. I bet, yeah, they're totally going to be the final match then in that case.
I'm not sure. I still think that giant guy.
Eh, no, it's got to be Soma versus Dark Soma. Come on.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think giant guy is coming. He's going to be next opponent.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, they've all shuffled and they all congratulate Megumi for trying so hard.
Yeah.
The old guy is in the bathroom and he didn't realize it when he ate Megumi's ramen, his underwear came loose.
Yes.
Yeah.
His loincloth.
Which is strange, I guess.
Yeah. Kind of strange, but I don't think it's actually supposed to be anything like that. It's just, you know.
I think it's just she was actually super amazing.
Yeah, she was actually really good. He just didn't notice at the time.
It's weird that this is his only barometer for tasting things.
Yeah.
Like, he did not, like, taste her thing and go, like, yum, this is tasty. He just, like, checks his clothes and goes, like, I guess that wasn't that good.
It seems like there's, like, a ceiling on this. Wouldn't there be, like, something that makes him strip completely? He's going to show up during one of Soma's matches just be, like, full-on naked, just giant, sporting, massive erection.
Yeah, I think that's the end joke, is him just standing there naked with, like, a little elephant drawn over his crotch or something.
Yeah.
So Hayama is sitting in the grass, just, you know,
sniffing,
smelling his cinnamon or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Contemplating. And his professor, like, wonders what's going on with him. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry. I'm just going to do my best. I've passed the preliminaries. So I'm going to guess he goes next.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
He's going against Italian guy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Did they not say it out loud?
Because we just know Ikumi's going, or not Ikumi, but Takumi's going tomorrow.
Yeah, but the way this is set up, it seems like he's going against the Italian guy.
Yeah, because we see their stories back to back.
Right,
like it cuts into them right next to each other.
So it kind of seems like he's in love with that professor.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, isn't she like 40 or something?
She's
actually really old.
Yeah, like shockingly old, even though she looks younger than him.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Although I'm actually reading a different manga right now that kind of does the opposite sort of thing of that, where it's a boy, or it's a man who looks like a grade schooler or something, and he's a police detective, and he uses it to infiltrate and investigate youth crimes and stuff.
It's 21 Jump Street?
Yeah, it's actually really good.
I was going to say Detective Conan, but...
What's it called? It's called Shibatora. Yeah. So yeah, that's good. And it's finished.
Does he knock people out and then like
check it out.
Mime
oh, no,
the explanation
is,
for them?
He's actually secretly super good at kendo.
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
So anyway.
But anyway, yeah.
Then we have to talk to me.
He and his brother are trying to like they're preparing what they're gonna do tomorrow.
And I love the joke that his brother is the one that's super antsy about tomorrow.
Yeah.
And just like can't sit still and keeps fidgeting with things.
So he thinks that he's
perfect.
Oh, now that I think, like, look at it, like maybe Arena's assistant is the next match, because she also has a "I'm going to come out victorious" scene.
Oh yeah,
well they all do. All three of them, except for Big Guy.
So there'll probably be two matches again tomorrow, right? So it's going to be four people, but we don't know who's going against who, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
We can take our guesses at the end of the chapter. So yeah, Arena's Hisako, I think her name was, declares that she's going to win. And then we cut back to them all saying their reasons to win.
And then it cuts to Soma, who's being approached by a guy on a motorcycle.
Yeah, for some reason.
Who knows his name and says, "We meet again."
It's the Big Guy.
Yeah, who just randomly won from the last time.
I'm pretty sure we don't actually have a name for.
No, just I don't think we do.
Just so, like the Big Guy won.
He's clearly black, but how do you think they're going to rationalize him being Japanese?
Half Japanese,
totally.
It's like his motorcycle, it's half Japanese.
So they're going to be like, yeah, I grew up in America, but my dad was Japanese.
Yeah. Or my mom. Usually it's the mom that's Japanese, I think.
Yeah.
And then conveniently out of the picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But apparently him and Soma know each other.
And Soma does not look super happy to see him either.
Yeah.
No. It's not a good relationship.
I'm guessing from back in his days at his dad's restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Had bad experiences with this guy. So I'm guessing, here's my guess for the pairing ups. It's going to be Big Guy versus Takumi.
Because Takumi can't win.
Yeah, he can't win.
And it's going to be Indian-Japanese guy versus Irina's assistant.
Yeah, and I can see that.
And he'll win.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I can see Irina's assistant winning because I want to see Soma beat her.
Yeah, that's true. He hasn't had a match against her. Has he?
I don't know. No, she seems like the easy one to declare isn't going to win because she's like barely a character.
But I want to see like...
So she's going to get development through this. She's going to get, you know, a flashback.
True. Like I guess I would have said that about Ryo before his battle, that she was barely a character.
I find like every relationship Irina has with anyone to be super creepy.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. It's super weird how like she has almost completely disappeared as a character since like the first few chapters.
She won the character poll too.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I was going to say the reason her relationships are always creepy is because she's always talking to people from the top of stairs somehow.
Yeah.
Like, no matter where she's having a conversation, she's always, like, six stairs above somebody.
Yeah, she's like the villain from a shoujo manga, basically.
she's not even really a villain is the hilarious part.
I mean, she's a bitch, but...
I guess she's another one of these characters. That's the thing that I really like about Soma is that nobody is really that much of, like, a character in a manga. They all seem mostly, like, real people.
Well, they're chefs in a school. They're not going to have, like, an evil person.
Right. There's not anyone, like, tackling and talking about how... Well, except Ryo, I guess. He's kind of evil.
But... A chef that poisons people, but his food's so good, no one can resist eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did, like, genocide his home village, but, I mean, did you taste these apple tarts?
This risotto.
No, then it would literally be yakitate. So.
Oh yeah, where you're fighting the literal bread devil by the end of it.
Yeah.
That manga got weird.
Yeah, that got really bad. But
I mean, you could totally, like, that's the way you do villains in this manga, is you have to have somebody that's like, they're good chefs, but they're just assholes.
Right, like, and she's kind of an asshole.
Like, you have to give them their comeuppance by defeating them. Right. Which is why, like, I can totally see a situation where the assistant goes against Soma, and Soma beats her, and then Arena's like, "Well, you're fired because you can't lose against that guy," and Soma has to stand up for her.
And then she becomes part of she gets demoted down to the housing and moves.
Yeah,
right, just like happened with that other girl.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that would be exactly like Takumi, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I bet that's exactly what's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's totally gonna happen again.
Someone just getting a harem off Arena's discards.
Stealing Arena's harem.
he's Soma Sloppy Seconds.
All right. Yeah.
I will eat crow about Megumi losing.
Me too, I guess. Through.
It was just too thematically inappropriate.
Yeah, I guess so. I expected her to lose
in the second round to like whoever Soma was going to beat.
Right, I thought they would build her up more, but...
I mean, she's been the focus of the manga for a while, I'd say.
She's the actual protagonist at this point.
I'm satisfied with her progression, though, of entire school cheering for her and being told, like, it, like, actually being way closer than it seemed.
But where does she go from here now? Like, this was her Krillin moment of, wow, she's actually kind of equal to Goku.
I think where she goes from here now is she actually gets a W under her belt on the next time she goes up against somebody.
Right, I think it's easier to do this sort of thing when it's not, like, people literally dying in fights and stuff. Yeah. So, like, she can still win things. She just isn't going to be the most amazing, perfect victor of everything like Soma is, you know?
She'll come out with, like, oh, I don't know, like, 1-3 kill-death ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah, a pretty medium player.
Yeah.
I do like the page where the judge is, like, writing down the answer or the choice. There's, like, on the side, you see Soma in Megumi's eyes, and both Alice and Ryo, you don't see their eyes at all.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Which I guess is, like, they're the friendship Tachi, and so are Alice and Ryo are the, you know...
Evil.
Yeah. Food is food.
Alice is evil somehow.
For some reason, even though she never acts evil.
I mean, in fairness, it's perfectly...
She's
in
not
line
even
for
a jerk.
Yeah, she's.
Yeah.
Of course, she should be cheering on Ryo. Ryo is her, like, arguably her best friend. That they her frenemy, I guess. If you want to go that route.
I wonder what's gonna happen with their relationship now that he's moved on and she was eliminated in the first round.
Yeah.
Because he was already, like, all bitch step off to her before he came down.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a one page that now, like, I'm really eager to find out how they bridge the. Like, young Ryo to that page of, like, him swearing his loyalty to her.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Oh, I guess
they'll probably defeated him in a cooking duel or something.
Yeah, and he respects power.
Right? Or maybe that's why he does go against Soma. Like, so he can go, like, if I beat you, then I'm above Alice.
Right.
Yeah, okay, that gives them good. I bet they're a second round... battle, not the final round.
Yeah. I'm really, like,
I think it works too well for the final round, but...
I'm way more invested in, like, character relationships in this manga than, like, any of the cooking stuff.
You just want to, like, totally. You want to move the pieces around the chessboard and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's like, how would Nakumi and Alice interact in a battle? Let's push them together.
I think that's, like, this is one thing that's always said about Dragon Ball is it has... really complex characters in really stupidly simple situations.
Yeah.
And I think that same thing pretty much applies to Soma.
I don't know that it has really complex characters.
I think it has decently complex characters that have, like, their own changing motivations and relationships, which is not something that's, like, it was not terribly common in shonen anime back then, either.
Tien is a much different character at his exit from the series than the start.
And Yamcha was, Bulma was. Goku's the only one who pretty much stood the same, and that's because he was really simple.
And that was the joke.
Yeah. But everyone else, like, there were characters that just fell out of love with fighting, and for a shonen series, that's super weird.
Yeah, like, Krillin just got tired of fighting and retired with a family.
Yeah.
No big, like, you know, event caused him to do that, it's just he got older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Soma, that taps into the same thing, like, I find this chapter where there's no cooking whatsoever, but lots of people just reacting to a result and preparing for the next one is really interesting.
Yeah, like, these are all really well-written characters so far, so...
And I really like that one page. Next. I like that one page of everyone saying what they're fighting for.
Yeah.
I want everyone to win.
All right. Let's move on to Naruto, which had an awesome color page.
Yeah, the
color
page is great.
I was so fucking mad
page.
Last week that I couldn't talk about...
God.
So I mentioned it to Imran, Robin, but
if
you think about it, okay, Orochimaru is a villain. No, wait, actually, he's part of this bigger organization called Akatsuki that's being controlled by Pain. Wait, no, Pain's being controlled by Nagato. But wait, Nagato's actually being controlled by Tobi. No, wait, Tobi's actually being controlled by Madara. No, wait, Madara has been betrayed by Zetsu, who is being controlled by Kaguya. It's just been one giant line of betrayal succession since the start of the manga.
I really hope it circles around so Orochimaru is controlling Kaguya.
Orochimaru was Kaguya the whole time.
Snake eating its own tail of villains.
So let's talk about how awesome this color page is.
It's pretty great.
Color page is really great.
My favorite thing is that Kakashi's lightning staff is a dragon.
I didn't notice that. That's awesome. I like that Sasuke is the arrogant elf type.
And he's looking at his sword like, what's this?
This yeah. made me wish that he would do more like side stories that, you know, were not canon or something.
You know what always really disappointed me was... like, one of the Naruto EDs was, like, this manga, just pictures of, like, a Naruto high school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
It was like, really cool looking, and I really wanted, I wish they would have done that.
Yeah, like, if he just did, like, 5 chapters of Dark Souls Naruto.
Yeah. But nope. So, instead, we go straight to, where Madara is screaming as, I guess, like, all his clones are dissipating. And Naruto is commenting on how much chakra is coming out of him, and it's like a literal groundswell.
Yeah.
Right, it's literally shooting out of the ground.
It kind of explodes right under them, and they all go flying, kind of commenting.
And Sasuke points out, like, hey, this is sort of a world of chakra at the moment.
I love that it's the explosion, he's going, it's chakra!
So Naruto and Sasuke decide that they're going to stop him immediately while before he, like, fully powers up, which is maybe the smartest thing anyone in the series has ever done.
Yeah, they're going to attack him while he's transforming, which is just amazing.
And the best, like, they go after him, and the best part ever is Sakura decides she's also going to join in, and Kakashi leaps in front of her. It's like,
wait,
no.
No, stop. Not you.
Here.
You're only going to die, so here. Just...
Yeah.
Sakura, I have a very important mission for you. Here's a rock. I want you to protect this rock. Don't move away from this rock. This is vital.
In fairness, Naruto and Sasuke got caught up in it, but it's still kind of
they funny. Immediately get grabbed by hair or something.
Yeah.
Chakra waves? I don't know. I guess
chakra hair. And then Zetsu says that he's going to absorb their chakra or something.
Well, he says he doesn't intend to kill anybody. He needs to keep them alive to drain their chakra forever.
Yeah.
So they can, like, be turned into zombie soldiers.
Yeah, so she can turn them into soldiers. And then it's revealed that all the people who get caught get turned into white Zetsus, apparently.
So I guess all the current white Zetsus are Kaguya's forces from
before, I guess.
Even though I thought... Didn't Madara make all of them? Like,
yeah,
well, Madara apparently thought he did.
It was said before that Madara made them using
his
Senju cells.
Yeah.
You know.
But
that was his whole thing.
I guess he thought he made them, but they were, like, already existing.
Right, because didn't he fuse? He fused with the evil chakra tree before, didn't he? Or was that just a bunch of Senju cells?
He was, like, hooked up to that machine that was pumping him full of Senju shit, I think. I don't know.
I guess.
He was being used.
Yeah, I'm willing to buy that he just thought he was hotter shit than he was.
Right.
So now he's becoming like Fat Madara.
Right, he turns into Fat Madara for a couple panels, and then...
Remember when we were so sad we didn't get Fat Madara? We finally did.
There we go.
But at what cost?
So yeah, he's... Madara, like, dissolves and disappears, and I guess that's the end of Madara.
And then Kaguya comes out.
And then it's just Kaguya.
Yep.
Like, she's not riding Madara's body. She turned Madara inside out and just became...
Right. And, you know, last week I was all thinking, oh, man, we're going to find out that Zetsu this whole time was the missing brother of, you know, her missing son. And we're going to find out what their whole deal is and how Madara
I think we still
was manipulated.
Might.
No,
and,
that's
yeah,
not...
we might still might. But then it's just, oh, there's Kaguya.
Well, when Kaguya comes out, she looks at Naruto and Sasuke and says... They must be the reincarnation of Hagoromo and Hamura. But then she corrects herself and says, oh, Indra and Ashura.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a reason that she says that.
Probably.
Yeah, so Hamura, who, by the way, we just found out his name. It's Hamura, is the missing brother. And so I guess he has to show up now, because we got a name for him.
I don't think we're going to see anything on Zetsu in the future, though, because I'm pretty sure he got absorbed into Kaguya, too.
Well, yeah, because Zetsu was Kaguya.
Like with Obito, or?
Yeah.
No. That one.
Obito got spit out the butt when turned into Kaguya. But...
Right.
Oh. Huh.
He slinks away into it, just like laughing, like, oh, ha 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 ha, it's our time, whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. So, Hamura is totally going to be the one controlling Kaguya this whole time.
No, Orochimaru is Hamura the whole time.
Ah.
Also, I like how she has the Byakugan.
Yeah, she has the Byakugan.
Specifically.
Right. When I saw this page, I actually didn't realize that's what this was at first, because it's been so long since we saw anyone like look at Chakra like this.
I love that her third eye also gets a little freaky looking when she uses it.
Yeah.
So she's sort of like, well, I really don't intend to kill any of you, because why do I need to bother?
Yeah.
Like, none of you can even close to stand up to me, so who gives a shit?
So she's like, let's stop fighting. And then it's like, we're just like, wait, and then she goes, too late.
Okay.
And then,
yeah. Like, and then the floor
changes her mind and decides to, like, just kill everyone.
Yeah.
And it looks like they got teleported to the center of the Earth or something.
Now that they're fighting, like, the mother of all chakra, I'm guessing this is endgame.
Yeah.
You would think so. You would think so.
I don't know. Where could they possibly go from this?
Well, look, I mean, she needs an army for something, right?
Oh my god, I love like that final picture of like everyone like falling to the ground. You see Kakashi and Sakura like on that platform. See like a little Obito just to the side, like clinging towards the wall.
Oh yeah.
I was just noticing that Obito went with them.
Oh, that's funny.
He's totally gonna stab her in the back because this has been his plan the entire time, and she played right into his desires.
And then Obito starts laughing again. It turns out he's still evil. Oh no.
God. Like none of that changed just because of one talk.
Yeah.
This is years of psychology.
I just love, someone actually did a picture of just like the flow chart of Naruto villains, and it's like a pyramid scheme of Kaguya at the top and like everyone with lackeys working under them.
Yeah.
I mean, like in the past two chapters, this has changed dramatically.
Imagine like showing the last page of this chapter to you two chapters ago and saying like, this is two chapters from now. There's the center of the Earth fighting Kaguya.
And oh yeah, Madara's totally gone.
It's literally become a Final Fantasy boss battle.
Yeah, it totally is. The only thing we have to do is guess which Final Fantasy boss cliche they're going to use next. So is Kaguya going to turn out to be Lavos?
Like there's a secret small Kaguya inside, like there's a core, like the eye is her only weak spot.
Yeah.
She is the planet.
I mean, she sort of is, like...
Yeah.
I'm not super convinced she's evil. I guess she's trying to make everyone into her soldiers.
We don't really know if she's evil or not, because we literally know nothing about who she is or her motivations or anything, so...
I mean, she's trying to murder everyone, I guess.
I really love, though, there was only a panel between her going, let's end this fight. What? Okay, now I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
They didn't answer fast enough. She didn't have time for this shit.
Murder victim says what? What? Okay.
I don't know. Like, at some point, this went so far off the rails, and I just gotta watch and see where it's going.
The train is like driving on dirt right now, and we're just along for the ride.
It's just this has to end soon, right?
Yeah. I mean, no. It even says on that page, the beginning of the end. This is the final battle. But
he said that like 10 times now.
This is actually like rapidly moving the story forward in like completely nonsensical ways.
So, as someone who went without Bleach for 2 weeks, I would like to direct you to think of where Bleach was two chapters ago and where Naruto was two chapters ago.
That's true. I mean, I guess at least things are happening every chapter. I can't really complain about that.
In the Bleach chapters I missed, he stood in the same place and attacked twice. This one, we have gone through like three villains in the last three chapters.
Yeah, that's true. Three final villains, even. So,
it's safer.
I like how Madara just like he just died. He just completely peaced out. Like
on the one hand,
didn't even get a friendship talk.
On the one hand, it's kind of unsatisfying, but on the other hand, it's almost kind of cool thematically that like he dreamed of being like the hottest shit on the planet and the biggest bad, and he just gets this unceremonious. Nope, I was using you the whole time. Later. Like,
yeah,
just in the end, he was nothing. It's kind of a good finish for him.
Yeah.
Though it does make you wonder how are Naruto and Sasuke going to defeat a chakra god.
Really scared what's going to happen here is Kaguya freaking out and then Madara's face appearing on her and being like, you know, oh, you can't keep me down. I'm taking control of the body.
I would rather just Madara be gone forever at this point. But
yeah,
I think that would be for the best. But... I'm not sure that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. They're just going to get some power up from their being the reincarnations of the son of the Sage of the Six Paths or whatever, and then beat her.
Because I really hope all the Ito Tensei Hokage show up and be like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, because they don't have any idea who Kaguya is.
I thought we were fighting Madara. Like, even that was a little weird, but
literally nobody knows except Naruto and Sasuke who this even is. So
I want the second to come in and just be like, what the fuck did you do? Oh my god! What is wrong with you?
You know, if everybody just listens to the second plan of, like, let's just kill the Uchihas and move on. None of this would have happened.
Have a congenital genetic thing that is going to turn them evil and also give them superpowers.
Like, if they had killed 30 people, then as opposed to just 29 of them, then all of this would have been fine.
Yeah. Okay, Itachi, here's what you're going to do. You're going to kill all your family, and then you're going to kill yourself.
What if I leave one? No. No.
No, no, no.
Then Itachi's there thinking, like, in the back of his head, like, it's fine. I'm sure it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
Crybaby brother's not going to do anything. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Maybe, just going to throw this out there, maybe they should have trained Sakura better as a medical ninja so that she could not hesitate at stabbing someone in the face, because that would have avoided a lot of stuff.
Did it, like, what was the point of all of that stuff? Did he need the Rinnegan to become Kaguya?
Yeah,
that was the last piece of the puzzle for her to take over.
Why did she need that?
Was holding back what was apparently Kaguya this whole time, and then he lost all his strength, and then Madara came and stole the eye that he needed. So, it's just...
I really hope that, like... The linchpin of this is all just Sakura. Somehow, that she's the only one that can defeat Kaguya.
She's gonna find Tenten's bucket and vacuum cleaner thing, and...
What does that do?
She can't do that now, because they've been teleported to the center of the Earth.
It's fine. She'll punch her.
Like, what does any of that have to do with, like, Naruto now? Because they went back and they showed that the Hokages are still clearly alive, but...
Yeah. Third is still out there doing stuff.
I don't know. I'm eager to see where this goes, just because I have no fucking clue what he's doing anymore.
Yeah, I guess it's like One Piece. It's impossible to guess, but that's just not necessarily a good thing.
We are at a point where Sasuke and Naruto are the literal reincarnations of twin gods fighting the spirit of the planet at the center of the Earth.
I hope that, like, they pull back and this is all just Akamaru's dream.
Oh, God.
We'll find out if Neji shows up. Then we know. Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So no One Piece, no Ass Class this week. One Piece is back next week.
Yep. Pretty far behind on Ass Class. We're like 6 chapters behind at this point.
Yeah, they took a long break before the... that nickname chapter and a long break after.
Which is fine. I'm not complaining. But
If they can catch up, it would be fine. But if they intend to do weekly again, that's going to take a while.
Yeah, it's true.
It's fine.
I mean, it makes sense, because there's a lot of, like, humor in that series that can be hard to translate. So
yeah. I wish somebody else would pick it up, at least.
Yeah.
It's popular. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Great
chapter.
This has been your Friday, June 6th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep. Thanks.
We'll see you all next week. We were talking about it yesterday. It didn't make the actual thing because electricity went out, but the Dragon Ball game, new story, is you're a time traveler that's going back in time to stop other time travelers from messing with Goku. So, what? Like, somebody goes back in time to kidnap Yajirobe, so you have to go back in time to cut off Vegeta's tail.
Yeah. Presumably at some point someone saves Krillin's life and you have to go back and kill him.
Yes.